But it's good to see you today. Thank you for getting to be in Conqueror Sunday School class. I want you today to turn to the book of Joel. Joel is right after the book of Hosea. That is right after the book of Daniel. Huh? Yeah, just before Amos. Today being May the 28th, last Sunday in the month of May. My goodness, hard to believe. We are having Memorial Day services today. I know Pastor Young will have a great thing with the choir and all this morning about that. But we want to look at this lesson today. It's entitled, The Year of the Grasshopper. The Year of the Grasshopper. Now, this is not a kung fu thing, okay? Those of you who are old enough to remember the old kung fu things. All right, grasshopper. All right, this is the year of the grasshopper. And I want to read to you the theme verse for this Sunday. This is what it said. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. That's in Joel chapter 1, verse 19. I want to sum up the lesson today with this one little statement. Be sure your sins will find you out. God had said that in chapters back, and we'll look at that here in just a few moments. But Israel had sinned against God. They had turned their backs against God. And now there was a reckoning day coming. And God was going to chasten his people. You know what? It's no fun to ever get chastened. I remember my dad, when we were living at home, and he would always bring us to the bathroom, close the door, and take his belt off. And that was never a fun time. Never a fun time. And he would always tell me, he'd say, son, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you. And I thought I was going to die. I couldn't understand how in the world it was going to hurt him worse than it was hurting me. I was hurting. But you know, I want to ask you this question, Nick. What do you think about chastisement? What do you think about when you hear that word, chasten or chastisement? What do you think about that word? Many times the word is not looked upon as something that's pleasant, is it? I looked up in the dictionary the word chastise, and this is what the dictionary defines that word to mean. It is the act of correcting one by punishment or suffering. Now listen to what it said. The act of correcting one by punishment or suffering. Discipline, to purify, to prune of excess, pretense, or falsity, or to refine and cause one to be more humble or restrained, to subdue. That's the definition of chastise. God tells us, if you look over in the book of Proverbs just a minute, hold your finger where you're at so you don't lose that place. But look in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 just a moment. In Proverbs chapter number 3, the Bible said in verses 11 through 12, or through 13, he said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Boy, that defines chastisement, does it not? Because God loves us, he chastens us. Why did you have to chasten your children when they were growing up? Because you loved them. You wanted to correct them and get them to where they did not mess up their lives. They didn't get a bad reputation about them. And so you chastened them. Now, the book of Hebrews says this in chapter 12. And you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you can. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he believeth, whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he is our prophet, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Amen. Boy, I can say amen to that, can't you? There's no chastening that seems to be joyous. But look at this. "But it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Listen, chastisement is brought about by God to bring us to a point of repentance. Okay? When we were chastened as children, it was to get us to finally say, "We're sorry and we won't do this again." When we associated doing what was wrong with the results of doing what was wrong and getting chastisement, it caused us not to do that which was wrong. Did it not? And that's what God wants us to do. And you see, God has a purpose for sending chastisement unto his people. He has a plan, especially when they continue to do wrong and they think nothing about what they're doing in rebellion toward the Lord God. I've seen Christians have to go through times of chastisement because they would not do what God said do. And I've seen lost people get themselves in all kinds of trouble because they would not do what they knew to do right. Our lesson's theme verse says this: "O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field." You see, God wants us to turn to him when we've done wrong. And he wants us to take heed of his word. Listen to what he's telling us, so that we don't have to suffer the chastening hand of God. God's desire for each of us, God's desire is to simply, for us to simply love him enough that we will trust him, we will obey him, and when we do wrong, we will go to him right then and say, "Lord, you know what? I should not have done that. I should not have said that. I should not have acted in that manner. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me and give me wisdom, Lord, not to do that again. And thank God we have 1 John chapter 1, which reminds us. And John said something there. Just turn there just a moment. It just came to my mind. But 1 John chapter 1, and I want you to look beginning at verse number 8. Let's look at verse number 7. Back up to verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 7. Look what he said. He said, but if we walk in the light. Now he's talking to Christians here. And John says, if we, as God's children, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Folks, there is none of us that's come to that point in our life that we are perfect in the eyes of God. Not a one of us. And he's reminding us of that fact. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But look at verse number 9. Look what he said. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Amen. And to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. That is what God's will is for you and me today. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be repentant of our sin. God's desire is for us to love him enough that when we do wrong, we'll come to him. We'll accept chastisement if we have to receive it. And we'll learn from that fact. Sadly, Israel had turned its back on God and on his words and on his promises. You know, God promised them blessing if they did right, but he promised them cursing if they did wrong. He promised it. And he said, this is what's going to happen. And the prophet Joel brings God's message of coming judgment and coming chastisement upon these people. Let me ask you something today. What do you think about sin in general? Today, our world doesn't regard sin as sin. They don't regard anything wrong as sin. I mean, it's like the book of Judges said, when there was no king in Israel, the people did that which was right in their own eyes. Whatever pleased the people, that's what they did. And Israel had gotten to that way. Their attitude of sin displeased the Lord. Their attitude in which God called things wrong, God said, this is not right, this is sin. And they just basically said, well, we don't care what God thinks. We're going to do whatever we want to do. Whatever pleased the flesh. I want you to look at this morning with me just a few moments before we start the lesson. And I want you to look at what God's word says about sin and how your attitude, my attitude as born again children of God ought to be towards sin. I want you to see this today. The first verse I want you to turn to is in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 97, verse 10. Everybody has the idea that if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again child of God, you're supposed to love everybody. Oh, you're supposed to just give everybody a big group hug and say, I love you. But you know what? As a child of God, there are things that I also, because I love the Lord, I have to hate. I don't hate the people. I don't hate the sinner. But I sure do hate the sin. You say, preacher, should we hate sin? Should we hate evil things? I want you to look at Psalm chapter 97, verse 10. I want you to see what the psalmist David said. He's speaking to you and to me. He said, ye that love the Lord. How many of you love the Lord today? Hold up your hand. Amen. You ought to love the Lord for what he's done for you. Ye that love the Lord. What's the next two words say? hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. If you love the Lord, you have to hate the devil. Listen, I learned as a young boy, the only thing you get when you straddle the fence is splinters. That's all you get. And you know what? The thing that hurts you most is having to ask somebody to help you get it out. Boy, I did not like to do that. And folks, listen to me today. When you straddle the fence and you try to please the world and God, all you're going to get is spiritual splinters. And God is going to chasten you. I want you to look at another verse here in Psalm chapter 101. You're right there near it. Psalm chapter 101. And look at verses 1 through 3. David said, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He didn't say, talking about walking in the church. He didn't say walking in the public. He said, I'm going to walk in my own house with a perfect heart. Folks, that's where it begins. Our schools today have had the Bible and prayer taken out. One woman stood up and said, we don't want it. And she was able to get it out. But let me tell you this. Before we lost prayer and Bible in our schools, it was lost in the homes. People should have risen up and said no. And they did not do that. I was just a little child. And I asked my dad one time, why didn't somebody stand up against this? And he told me, this is what he told me. He said, we never thought one woman would make such a big difference. And they didn't do anything about it. Folks, listen to me today. You give the devil an inch, and pretty soon he'll become the ruler. And they gave the devil an inch. We need to walk within our own houses with a perfect heart, a spiritually mature heart. What we need in our world today are some Teflon-coated Christians. Teflon-coated Christians that will not allow sin to stick to them. And they can take the heat and keep on going. Hey, listen to me. Look what else the psalmist said. Psalm 119, verse 103. I'm just in the introduction. I hadn't gotten to the lesson yet. I'll get to it in a minute. Psalm 119, verses 103 and 104. David says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. What's he saying? Through the word of God I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Hey, listen, Patch the Pirate had a song. I can't remember the title of it. But he talked about if it's dirty, don't wear it. If the collar's gray, don't wear it, okay? If there's a doubt, don't do it. And that's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks like it might be bad, don't do it. Stay away from it. Hate every false way. Same chapter, Psalm 119. Go down to verse 126. Psalm chapter 119, verse 126 through 128. Look what he said. He said, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. It's time for God to do some work. Look what he said. For they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Man. Go over to Psalm 139 now. Chapter 139. These are just out of the book of Psalms. There is much that you can learn from the Word of God. And look at this. Psalm chapter 139, beginning in verse 17. Again, the psalmist writes, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." Now notice that. Those that do wrong, those that rebel against God, they are not your friend. Listen to me today. Let me go back one step further. The devil is not your friend today, okay? I don't care what he says he will give you. We watched some stuff on the YouTube again the other week about these stars and movie stars and rock stars and stuff. And they told how that they had sold their soul to the devil. And I thought to myself, the devil, folks, is not your friend. He said, "I count them mine enemies." He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, prove me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and do what? Lead me in the way everlasting." You know what our world's problem is today? Everybody wants to lead, but nobody wants to follow. If you want to be a good leader in our world today, then be a follower of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, Jesus said, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." We need to follow in order to be a good leader. And nobody wants to follow. Now listen to this. David's son, Solomon, God gave him wisdom, great wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 6, he said this in verses 16 through 19, "These six things doth the Lord hate." Six things. "Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And look at this. We're seeing this in our world everywhere we turn. A proud look. I watched those stars that sold their souls to the devil standing in front of their show wall, taking pictures and proud and all this other stuff. And you know what? They're going to get old and fat and lumpy and gray and bald and everything else, just like the rest of us one of these days. Now listen, they get old and ugly, and they paint themselves up. They plasticize themselves, and you know, they make themselves try to look beautiful all the time. But it's not real. "A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Those things God hates. And folks, if God hates it, you and I ought to hate it today. Listen, if God hates it, don't you think that you and I should say, "Lord, if you hate it, you don't like it, it's not good for you, it's not good for me." Don't you think we all agree with that? Listen, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 said this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." And I'm going to give you one more here. The Old Testament prophet Amos. Amos is right after Joel. Amos chapter 5. Here's what he said to the people. He said, "Seek good and not evil. Our world today, Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Our world today is not seeking good. They're seeking evil. They're seeking whatever pleases the old flesh. And God says, seek evil, or seek good, not evil. Why? That ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And you know what? When I read that, I thought, if we as the church, the body of Christ, would honestly love good and hate evil, it may be that God would be merciful upon our country. It may be that God would show mercy and grace unto the remnant of those of us who know Christ as their Savior. Otherwise, we're going to go through a period of judgment here on this earth because our world is wicked. And we are facing a year of the grasshopper, so to speak. We're facing judgment. And folks, I say all of that today. I know I've taken up most of my teaching time this morning to give you these verses, but I'm trying to help you to understand God hates sin. And if you and I as Christians don't hate sin, and if we don't shun it, listen, if there's a big snake or a little snake, there's only four kinds of snakes I don't like. Only four types. Big ones, little ones, live ones, and dead ones. That's the only four I despise. And you know what? When we lived up on the hill, every time we go in the basement, there were snakes down there. Snakes. I'd kill everyone I could kill. And you know what? I don't want any kind of snake, big one, little one, live one, or a dead one, being in my household. Don't want it. And it ought to be the same with sin. Listen to me today. The Old Testament prophets tried to get the people of God to see God's blessings in their life and what God promised to do for them if they would just abstain from all appearance of evil. But they chose not to do that. Therefore, these men of God had to stand up and not just preach blessing unto them, but they had to stand up and say, okay, you've refused to do what God said. You have chosen to do that which is evil in the sight of God. Therefore, now judgment is coming. And folks, you and I have to do the same thing today. We've got to warn people. Listen, I warned Danny when he got this new car yesterday. I said, number one, you need to watch your speed. Drive carefully, as if I was in here with you. Okay? All right? You don't want to mess up this car. Your mom and dad have bought you a car. You need to honor it, take care of it, honor them. I said, don't speed and get a ticket. I said, number two, if you do speed and get a ticket or you have an accident because you're just being stupid, if you do that, then you're off my insurance and you have to get your own, which is going to cost you a lot of money. And he said, I won't. He come up and hugged me yesterday. He said, thank you for helping me with all this. I said, just be careful with it. I gave him the blessing and the cursing, okay? And you know what? Listen to me. I meant it. And I'm going to keep my promise. I'll bless him as long as he does right. But if he does wrong with it, the curse is coming, okay? He'll have to get his own insurance, and that's going to cost him a lot of money as a first-year driver. God told these people, listen, I will bless you. I'll knock off your enemies. I'll take care of everything for you. But if you don't do what I have asked you to do, if you don't love me, if you don't do that which is right in my eyes, then you're going to experience the cursing. And this is where Joel comes in on the scene. Joel chapter number 1. Look at it with me here just a moment. I want you to look at verse number 1. The year of the grasshopper. Joel writes here in verse number 1, he said, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. I want you to see, first of all, something about this man, Joel. Now, there's not a lot that the Bible speaks of about him. We only learn what we learn from the scriptures that we have. But that name, Joel, I want you to look at it today. It's broken down into two parts, J-O. The J-O literally refers to Jehovah, Jehovah God, J-O. And then the E-L in that, it refers to Elohim or God, okay? So what his name means is Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God, not Baal, okay? Not Ashtaroth, not Dagon or any of these other false gods of the land, but Jehovah is God. Listen, folks, his name declared what he believed and what he was taught. And you know what today? Your name, my name, as Christian, needs to stand out and tell folks what we believe. If we're a Christian, I remember leading a fellow to Christ one time, and he would not get saved. I tried to lead him to Christ, and he would not get saved. And I said, just tell me, why will you not accept Christ as your Savior? He said, preacher, if I do that, then I would have to quit smoking. I'd have to quit drinking. I'd have to quit all the other stuff that I've been doing wrong, because Christians don't do that. Ooh, it got quiet in here. Did I say something wrong? What happened? You know what? A lost man had more conviction for being saved than what most Christians have today. Oh, man, because we're on our way to heaven. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows it's wicked and it's vile. And listen, if we love him, listen, that would be like me saying, honey, Lisa, baby, I love you, but I'm going to go see Gertrude here as my girlfriend, or Zelda over here. You know, I'm not coming home with you. I'm going to go eat with them today. You know, we're going to go have a Big Mac at McDonald's or something. Boy, how many times do I have to be unfaithful to her for her to be mad at me? Once. And probably be my last time, okay? She's got her CCW too, okay? All right? So, listen. I want to honor God. Joel's very name honored the Lord God. And it told everybody what he believed, and that was that Jehovah is God. But I want you to notice something here. It said here that his father's name was Pethuel. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Pethuel. And that name basically means God delivers, or God enlarges, okay? Or persuaded by God. Joel's father was persuaded by God that Jehovah is God. And he named his son this name. And this man, in the day in which he lived, Joel was a common name among the boys, the Jewish boys, because everybody wanted to make sure their children grew up to know that Jehovah was God. Many of them strayed away. But this particular young man, Joel, became a messenger and an instrument of God to proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Now that's your job. That's my job today as well, to proclaim what thus saith the Lord. I don't know much about his home life, other than that he was just a servant there. He may have lived in Judah or Jerusalem. But I want you to look at the times. Throughout the book of Joel, he mentions the enemies of Israel. And I want you to understand something. These enemies in Joel's day are the same enemies they have today. They just call them different names. The Philistines, okay? Today they're called the PLO. You know, they're called all sorts of names today. But they were the Philistines. And the cities, Tyre and Sidon, and different ones like that, they were all enemies of the children of Israel. But he had a purpose, and he had a style. God used Joel to write in such a way that the words that he wrote were almost like a song that could be remembered by the people, and they would sing it to themselves. And they would try to proclaim what God was trying to tell them. And they would say, listen, God is going to send judgment if we don't change our ways. And folks, I'm telling you today, if America does not change her ways, God is sending judgment. But there's hope today. There's hope. Why? Because I got a classroom full of folks that love Jesus. And if you love the Lord, as David said, you will hate evil. You will stand up for that which is right. And you will pray for those who continue to do wrong. Why? Because the plague of locusts is coming to our town. It's coming. The plague of locusts. Look at it here in verses 2 and 3. I want you to see the call to listen. Listen. How many of you as parents ever looked at your children and said, are you listening to me? It's like talking to a brick wall, you'd say, all right? Are my words going in one ear and coming out the other? That's what we would say to our children. You know, it was easy for it to do that sometimes because it seemed like there was nothing in between to stop it. Nothing. God said to his people, take heed, listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Look what he said. Joel chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He said, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. God wanted the people to listen and to take note of what Joel was trying to tell them about. And he announces here, he says, hear ye, ye old men. Now listen, that would be those of us that are older and have children out of our household and living amongst the things of the world. They've got their own children, they got their own jobs, they got their own responsibilities. We have to live for God. And we have to let our children see us living for God. He said, hear ye, old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. This plague of locusts was to be talked about for generations. Why? Because there would be nothing that would compare to it for some five generations in history. Nothing would compare to it. And Joel's message presented to these people, it would enable them not only to understand the message, but to repeat it over and over and over again. Listen, you and I, we learn by repetition. We learn by repetition. How do you learn to be a good driver? By going out and driving over and over and over again. How do you learn to do math well? By working with math problems over and over again. How do we learn to become a Christian the way we ought to be living like a Christian? By trusting His Word, by reading His Word, by letting it soak into our hearts over and over and over again. God called them to listen. Why? Because a plague was coming to their land. A plague of locusts. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll give you the description of it, okay? I'll do finish the lesson next week. I can't finish it today. Listen to me. Listen to me just a minute. As we celebrate Memorial Day, today, tomorrow, as we celebrate this holiday, we need to take time to remember what God has done for us. And where God has brought our country from. And where He wants to take us to. If only we will do what He says do. Amen. Folks, listen to me today. If we're not willing to listen to God today, we're going to suffer the consequences for our rebellion against Him very soon. It's coming our way. Let's pray that God will help us to see that fact today, all right? Let's pray just a minute, then we'll be dismissed, and I'll get your question. Father, we love you, and I thank you now, Lord, for this lesson. I know I didn't get through it all today, but Father, I pray that you'll give me wisdom and strength to be able to teach it so that our people will see the need of hating evil because we love you enough to do it. And God, I pray, Lord, if there be someone today that is listening to the sound of my voice, they've never been saved. Lord, they don't know you as their Savior. I pray, God, today that you'll help them to come to that point in their life and they'll trust you even today. And God will thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being here. Yes, ma'am.